Yes, hello, this is Danhausen here, very nice for evil, and you are listening to Bob After Dark. Subscribe or be cursed.
From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Children of the night, and welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello, everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever wonderful, ever vampiric, ever cape wearing, and forever the heartthrob Bob After Dark, my friend, my brother, my producer, Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count Panic.
Hey, Bob. Yes, testing out the camera angles that we have around here, but yes, Bob, happy to be back here. Another episode of Bob After Dark. Bob, through the magic of the Zoom technology that we all know and love, with another rousing episode, Bob.
We're watching or listening to Bob After Dark. We are your weekly show where we talk about legends, lore, and supernatural, things that go bump in the night, lights in the sky, weird cryptid stories, and of course, Count Panic's favorite flavor of Kool-Aid.
Gotta be the... People just go by colors, right? Red, purple. They never say the actual flavor. I'm a traditionalist, Bob. The red fruit punch. I mean, that seems like... the Kool-Aid man himself was red. So I got to be a traditionalist. Kool-Aid man. Yeah. How about you, Bob? Any favorite?
Grape.
Grape. Purple.
Grape purple. That is always my favorite.
Yeah, that's a good one, too. Those are like the top two, I think, for a lot of people. Could be reversible.
People in the chat are saying lemon, lime, and green. That, and then somebody said red.
I think Gatorade. See, here's the thing with Gatorade now. Kool-Aid. I like the lemon, lime, Gatorade over the red Gatorade, the fruit punch Gatorade.
That's fair.
They got this cucumber lime one. That's pretty
cucumber
good, too.
Cucumber lime Kool-Aid?
No. I'm on Gatorade now.
Oh, you're on Gatorade. Yeah. I didn't ask you about Gatorade.
I know, but I was saying, I know people were saying lemon, lime, but I say I prefer Gatorade now on lemon, lime. Lemon, lime. But fruit punch and Kool-Aid for me.
Guys, I promise you we talk about ghosts. That's the fun.
What's your favorite Gatorade, Bob? There is no purple Gatorade, right?
There is purple Gatorade.
Yeah.
I'm on the Gatorade because your boy is trying to watch his weight. So I've been drinking Gatorade Zero when I do want a Gatorade.
Sugar-free.
I do this as a Gatorade Zero, and I'm a big fan of the orange.
Orange, yeah, that's a good one.
Orange, too. I also like the white cherry is pretty good.
Ah, and you would never know a cherry flavor because it's just a white drink, but it's that hidden burst of cherry that gets them every time.
Every time?
Every time. Gatorade now endorses this podcast.
They do not. However, Gatorade, to sponsor a paranormal podcast, I say, my DMs are open.
They sponsored Michael Jordan. Why can't they sponsor this podcast?
Because I was going to say, because I am the Michael Jordan of the paranormal radio and podcast world, but yeah. I am not. I'm no Art Bell. No, I can't even say that jokingly.
Michael Jordan, and plus we don't play. Maybe if we were more athletic, we could get a Gatorade sponsorship. Maybe. We got to start learning basketball.
Yeah, I see that happening.
Yeah.
So, Count, you know something we haven't done in a long time is your weekend update. So let's get your weekend update before we dive into the news of the week.
Yeah, and anything is, I mean, like I said, Bob, you mentioned it before. It was kind of it was a cooler weekend, but a hot past couple days of the week here. Bob, it was a very mellow weekend. Nothing too action-packed for the old Count. I just kind of meandered about the earth.
I love that word.
Meandered?
Meander. That is like my favorite word.
You could do that a lot. Or moseying?
Moseying. No, meandering is such a better word.
Or dilly-dallying?
Dilly-dallying.
Across the earth. Other than that, it was a good weekend. How about you, Bob?
You know, what did I do? That's a great
question.
Were
you question. On the road?
I was not. This was my week off. That's nice. Where did I... What did I do? Saturday, it was... Taking care of mom. She hasn't been doing super hot. Yeah. Taking care of mom and just trying to play catch up on mental. And then Sunday I did lawn work, which was really exciting.
Yeah, that's good.
and then spent some time with Vix, which is always the best part.
See, a full weekend there, Bob.
A full weekend. I did cut the grass, yes. I was talking about my Saturday.
You cut the grass there, Bob. Does Bob have a... Now, Bob, do you get the riding mower out for the grass?
You just abandoned house got cut today. That's great. But I'm sorry, I was reading the chat. I missed having the chat. Yeah, so doing chat this there. On Twitch has been exciting stuff. Yeah. We got to figure out how to integrate it where you can watch too. But anyway, so Count Panic, are you ready to have a discussion about the news? Because that's the first part of our show.
It's the potatoes.
Bad lawn services, yes. Potatoes, yes. This is the potatoes of the episode. The meat is the lore of the week, but. Every week we look at news articles that you, the fans, and me, the Bob, go scouring the internet for, of anything unusual, high strangeness cases, pictures of ghosts, celebrity paranormal sightings, weird advances that borderline on science fiction. We talk about all of that. And our first one's actually not as much of a news story as it is just looking at information. So I did some research on the geographic database of Bigfoot sightings and reports, which is BFRO. It's like they're like their group for Sasquatching, right? Yeah. And I was doing some research, and so I don't know if this is breaking news on me or what. It's not really breaking news because I read this from an AM radio station, but I went and looked at it for myself. Is the states with the most Bigfoot sightings, and you would be surprised what snuck in at number 3 or 4.
What was number 3 or 4?
Would you like me to tell you the number 1 and 2?
Yeah.
Can you take a guess? Number 1 state with the most Bigfoot sightings according to BFRO.
Remember, we just had a story too of a state that made their national cryptid. California is the biggest state. I'm going to go California.
You were close. Washington.
Oh, Washington.
What, 726 sightings, with the latest being this year, May of 2025.
Okay.
The second is California with 463.
Okay, that's close.
Yes, and then coming in at number 3 is Ohio at 327.
Oh, wow, we're not far.
And then Illinois.
Really?
Is the one. Yep, Illinois snuck in at 304 sightings, latest being October 2024.
Are we talking about like the Chicagoland area, Bob, or Bigfoot in Chicago?
Here. So if you're asking about Chicago.
How many Bigfoots are
there? By the way, there's no Bigfoot sightings. I looked in Lake County, Indiana. There's been nothing reported to BFRO.
Well, there was the one in the 1970s in Gibson Woods there in Hessville, Indiana, neighborhood of Hammond, Indiana. But other than that, yeah, I don't hear too much Bigfoot action. But we are right on the border.
Cook County had 16 sightings.
So the closest is Cook County, then. We can go to Cook County.
Palos Park, Glenwood Woods, Bedford Park, the Cook County Forest Preserve, Midlothian, which is right out by Bachelor's Grove Cemetery, Plum Creek, Play Meadow, I don't know where that is, Matson, north of Matson, that's south of the city of Chicago, Orland Grove, don't know where that's at, a Sasquatch footprint found at Bachelor's Grove Cemetery. I wonder if Jack knows about that one. I have to remind me to text Jack and let him know.
Yeah, let him know. He's probably out there right now.
We have to do a new segment where we call Jack every week and get the paranormal opinion, but we're not going to actually tell him we're doing it. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to text you over his number and you're going to call Jack live on air, and we're going to tell him this fact.
Okay.
All right. Let me text you over his number. This is completely live, and this is something I just came with off the top of my head because I just really want to bother Jack for a moment. Let me get back to you. All right, and okay, so I need you to call that number.
Okay, let's see here. I got the number right now. I won't say it on the air.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't say it on air.
You know, it's been so long since I dialed out, so let's see if I can still remember how to do this. Will he answer a weird number, though?
He might not, but it's Jack, so he might. And you're just going to have to leave him a voicemail.
Let's see. Okay, here's what I got to do. It's ringing.
If he doesn't answer,
hope I dialed the right number.
Hello.
Hi, is this Jack Chavez?
Yes, it is.
Jack Chavez, you're live on Bob After Dark right now. How are you?
Don't cuss, Jack.
Don't cuss. Oh, the hey. SEC. I was thinking about you because Cal Panic asked about Bigfoot sightings, because that was our first article, is that Illinois has now moved up to the fourth most, according to BFRO, they are the fourth most biggest state with the most sightings. And 18 of those sightings are in Cook County. I found a Class B piece of evidence I thought you would find interesting if you didn't know that.
No, where is it coming from?
There's two sightings. On September 2011, there was a Bigfoot print found in Bachelor's Grove Cemetery. And same thing in November 2010, people believe they saw a Bigfoot footprint in Bachelor's Grove Cemetery. I didn't know if you were aware of that.
I wasn't aware of the footprint. I am aware of alleged encounters with Bigfoot in Bachelor's Grove Cemetery. There were two ghost hunters that were in Bachelor's Grove, and they were, you know, they were ghost hunting, but they were saying that they were being pelted by a bunch of rocks and debris from the woods, and they quickly were like, this doesn't seem like ghost activity. This is very deliberate. This is, you know, this is very, like, it's happening right in front of us. Because at first they were like, oh, well, maybe this is poltergeist. But they're like, no, this isn't a poltergeist. And then they heard even rustling in the woods nearby. So they called a they called Stan Courtney, who runs the big Bigfoot website. And he eventually met up with them a couple of days later, and they found Bigfoot habitats in the woods.
No kidding. Well, I'm glad you were able to shed some light on that, because this is my first time hearing about it, and I got to teach you something, that there were footprints found. So now I got to add to your list of interest, and you got to educate the fans a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's people are not really aware of those sightings in Bachelor's Grove, but they're definitely there. And when I first heard about them, I was really excited about it. So Bigfoot, don't be surprised that Bigfoot is in the Chicagoland area.
Absolutely. Can we get him on the show? I wonder.
Well, I wonder if we could get him on the show, Jack. Me and you are going Bigfoot hunting this summer. We're gonna go see if we could get him for the show.
Wow, Bigfoot being interviewed by Mothman himself, huh? That's great.
Oh, my God. Jack, thanks for taking the call. We're going to call you again next week with some kind of, this is going to be a reoccurring segment where we just bother you at night.
Sounds good.
I got to admit, though, for Jack to answer a random phone call at after 9 p.m., that's taking a risk. You don't ever know who that's going to be.
You were talking to one of the biggest paranormal investigators, researchers, and news writer of the Chicagoland area. If this man didn't take mysterious calls at night, I would not have the image of Jack that I do.
Wow.
I was actually looking at my phone wondering who it was, and I said, I bet this is paranormal related.
Yeah, see, because who would call after 9 o'clock, right? I mean, I don't know.
That's right.
Also, Jack, I'll send you with a parting gift.
Yeah.
Jack, I'm going to send you with a parting gift. I got my cryptid tarot deck here right next to me. I'm going to draw a card for you. And it is the tower in reverse.
Oh, that's not great.
No, it's not. But it's just a one card draw that I didn't shuffle. So let's not read too much into it.
What does that mean?
That change is coming whether Jack likes it or not.
That'd be good, though.
No.
Well, hopefully those changes start with my convention this Saturday. So we'll see.
Yep, publicize it. Plug it.
Yep.
Is it happening this weekend?
It is.
It's this Saturday. At the Countryside Convention Center in Countryside, Illinois. I'm going to have 85 vendors. It's just a $1 entrance fee for presentations. There'll be food there. It's going to be a great time.
There you I wish I could be there. Unfortunately, I'm double booked on Saturday, or I would be there myself. But you just announced a really exciting guest. You want to say who that is on Bob After Dark real quick?
Well, I'm sorry. Can you say that again?
Oh, no problem. You have just announced a really amazing guest. You want to tell the fans who you booked for Saturday?
Yes, I will have Chris Fleming. Chris Fleming, from he's been on Ghost Hunters. He's been on Ghost Adventures. Spooked Ireland, Spooked, the show Spooked Scotland as well. Chris Fleming has been everywhere on the show Dead Famous, Psychic Kids, and he will be at the convention with us.
That's amazing. So guys, check that out. Jack, where can people find more information about the con?
Yeah, I run the Facebook group, Paranormal Chicago. And, you know, if you go there and go to the featured button, you'll see the convention right there.
Excellent. All right, guys, check out Jack's conference. And Jack, I'll call you next week. We'll see how you the con did, okay?
That sounds good. Take care, guys.
Take care. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you, Jack.
Bye. All right.
Guys, I love Jack. He's one of my favorite people that do research on the paranormal, because Jack isn't just an investigator. The dude is like a legit, like, he's a reporter. This man goes out and gets, like, he interviews people about things that he's never even investigated on. That's how he's incredibly clever. So very honored that he picked up the phone for us.
Yeah, right after 9 o'clock.
All right, you're right. So anyway, Count Panic, I just figured that was our interesting first story. So thanks to BFRO for telling us that Illinois is now the fourth largest Bigfoot sighting state.
Yeah, how about that?
Absolutely. Yeah, okay, you ready to move on to our next story?
Sure, yeah.
From the Mountain Statesman, written by Nikki Skinner and Taylor County editor, the Grafton Monster Festival returns to celebrate West Virginia's legendary cryptid with movies, music, and mountain monsters. Downtown Grafton is gearing up for a monstrously fun weekend at the 2025 Grafton Monster Festival, June 13th and 14th. Unfortunately, I will not be there, but bringing cryptid culture, live entertainment, family-friend activities, and taste of the Appalachian folklore to the heart of Taylor County. We haven't talked about the Grafton Monster yet on the show. Hint, hint, wink, wink, maybe for next week. Now in its second year, the festival honors a legendary local tale that began in 1964 when journalist Robert Cockrell reported a chilling encounter on a riverside drive with a massive headless creature, a story that has fascinated cryptid enthusiasts for generations. This event since has evolved into a full-scale celebration of unexplained phenomena and small-town spirit. Admission for the festival is free and includes a lineup of film screenings, speaker series, vendor showcases, contests, and kids' activities. Festival goers can enjoy a screening of Harry and the Hendersons. I don't know why that's so funny to me. I know you like that movie, don't you?
Yeah, hey, it's based on a true story.
Yeah.
I think it was documentary.
There's a cosplay contest, a showing of Cry of the Wilderness, a cryptid and creatures expedition will also be at the public to no cost. A major highlight is Friday night's concert, June 13th, the St. Augustine Social Center. The evening kicks off with Matt Hartfield at 9:30, followed by Captain Catfish. Captain Catfish, F-E-E-S-H, a Morgantown-based band described as Appalachian alternative and hillbilly crypto punk. What? Remind me to look up Captain Catfish.
Captain Catfish?
F-E-E-S-H. Shout out to them. I love Appalachian alternative and hillbilly crypto punk. That is something. At 10 p.m., Clarkburg's own Devil Pill will close the night with a hard rock metal set, and 11 p.m. concerts are $10. VIP meet and greet dinner also at the St. Augustine Social Center gives chance to fans to meet Jeff Headley and William McQuillan from TV's Mountain Monsters. I can't say that. Mm. As well as speakers Les O'Dell. These are all colleagues, all good people. Tony Breeden, Mark Muncie, Noah Winkler, Dr. J.L. Tomlin, Daniel Reed, Kenny Biddle, Erica Lance, Greg Popovich, and Charles Meshaw. Admission is $30 for two tickets for $50 with two extra $5 extra. For access to the evening's music performances. Family focused events will take place throughout both days. Gallery 62 West will be featured drawing contest, cryptid theme, watercoloring, painting, and story time with our friend Mothboy Mike. At the B&O station, children can enjoy the sidewalk chalk art and a Nerf shooting gallery hosted by Boy Scout Troop 9.
Mm, wow, how about that? Greg Popovich, the coach of the Spurs?
Maybe he's a paranormal guy.
I don't know. Greg Popovich, this, right?
Yeah,
I mean, he's from East Chicago, too, so I don't know. Maybe he's, He's retired now, so maybe he's traveling the paranormal circuit. Who knows?
Who knows? Other attractions include cryptid cornhole at Taylor County Courthouse and a 40-foot inflatable obstacle course on Boyd Street, sponsored by the Taylor County Commission. More than 60 vendors will be on site, including Appalachian Ghost Girls, Miss Trixley's Quilty Pleasures, Cryptid Mysteries, Main Corpse Podcast, and a variety of regional artisans, food vendors, and small businesses. Organizers say that the event has quickly become a signature festival for the city and a chance to celebrate Grafton's unique place in West Virginia folklore. The Grafton Monster Festival Incorporated is a registered 501c3 nonprofit. Full event details, ticket information, and vendor listings can be found on the Grafton Monster Facebook page. Whether you're a believer, skeptic, or simply in town for a weekend of fun in the Mountain State, the Grafton Monster Festival offers something for everyone and maybe a few surprises lurking in the shadows. That sounds like it would be a really cool time. Yeah. I would go and surprise Mothboy Mike just going to his kids' reading. He had just published a couple kids' books, like Mothman Teaches You ABCs. Mm-hmm. So shout out to him. That's really cool stuff.
Yeah, no, it sounds like a great event there, Bob.
Hashtag panic stake.
A lot of heavy hitters there, a lot of big names. If you're a fan of the paranormal, you probably want to trek on down there, don't you? I would say buy tickets today. Buy tickets today.
What's that?
I would say buy tickets today.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Well, admission's free, unless then, you want to go catch the bands.
There you go. Just mosey and meander down there, and they'll let you in. Greg Popovich will let you in.
Greg Somebody Popovich will let you in.
There is a paranormal Greg Popovich as well. I had to check that out.
All right. Our last news story comes to us from Ava Boldazar. This was actually sent in from a friend of the show, Desmond. We love Desmond. Sends in lots of good stories. So this is horror museum featuring haunted objects, last meal restaurant coming to Ohio. This is Galion, Galion, Ohio, a horror museum featured haunted objects in a restaurant serving the last meals of infamous killers will soon open in Ohio. The museum, opening up at 227 Harding Way East in Galion, will feature human bones, taxidermy, Ouija boards, haunted items, and a true crime artifacts. The new establishment is owned by Nate Thompson, who founded the Michigan Museum of Horror. We just try to create an immersive experience for everyone, dealing in both the real-life aspects of horror and the fictional side of horror, Thompson said. The Galion building, construction in the year 1900, has a haunted history, according to Thompson. He plans on offering ghost tours and other events once open. It definitely fits the vibe, Thompson said. When you go and look at a place, they even know what you're doing yet, and one of the first things they tell you is, hey, this is haunted. You know, you're in the right place. The establishment will also feature a restaurant called The Last Meal, with a menu consisting of the final dishes eaten by infamous criminals on death row, along with serial killer themed beverages. For example, Thompson said serial killer John Wayne Gacy's last meal will be on the menu, consisting of fried chicken, shrimp, strawberries, and french fries. With death row inmates have known to request large last meals, the restaurant will adjust the sizes to personal portions. Mm. Orders will be served on a prison-style platter, Thompson said. Thompson announced at the new museum and restaurant on Facebook last week, drawing thousands of comments expressing excitement, along with some criticizing the eatery of glorifying serial killers and disrespecting murder victims. While Thompson said he understands that and respects these opinions, he believes the establishment will help spread awareness about the crime. He also said a portion of the profits from the restaurant will go to victims support foundations. It will get you very immersed into true crime, but also the same aspect that really creates awareness to where you're going to leave this place, and you're going to know what happened to the people, and you're going to be a little bit more cautious, Thompson said. There's just a lot of ways to make positive from a negative, for not only the victims, but everybody. Thompson is aiming to open the Galion attraction this summer. He is also planning to bring his horror-themed museums to other multiple locations across the country, including a location in Louisville, Kentucky. Hashtag panic steak.
Yeah, how about that? And last meal for Gacy was, you said, fried chicken, french fries, and strawberries.
Yes.
There was a list one time about last meals, and some of them just had bizarre requests. I mean, of course, you think it would be like steak and lobster or something because it's your last meal, but some of them had just had like simple stuff as too as well. But this sounds pretty interesting, Bob. What would be Bob, I'm going to ask you a question.
Deep dish pizza.
Deep dish pizza. Okay. What's this? But can't you just keep on eating? What if you never stop eating? I mean, do they stop you eventually?
What are you talking about?
Just prolong your death, obviously, your sentencing by just keep on eating.
Oh my God, Count Panic.
Some people, I bet, do that. I bet you some people do that. I don't know what mine would be. Bob, I don't know. I like a lot of things. You can order a lot of things, so you get like multiple chicken and steak. So I'll be there for a while, Bob.
I like it.
Pizza? Put pizza on the menu, too?
Absolutely. Yeah,
the sky's the limit. Cheese curds, Bob?
Cheese curds are a good choice.
Could be a lot of stuff there. Polish sausage? Pierogi? For the Polish?
Yes.
I could be going all day here, Bob. Hey, we have a caller if you want to take a phone call.
Yeah, let's take the caller.
Take it live.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, the Count has a very good point there, Bob. Because, you know, you got people that go in these places and need all this all-you-could-eat stuff. And, man, the guy could be eating for a week.
Right?
You know, you could pace himself. Or, you know, I mean, eat a little bit and then, you know, eat a little bit more. And what do you think?
I mean, that, you got to pace yourself, I guess. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think they have a price limit of like $50 or something.
I don't know.
Yeah, but it's your last meal.
I'm pretty sure it'll get you anything.
You mean they're going to put a price on your last meal?
I think they do. I think in some prisons they give you like a $50 price tag.
Well,
that's a fine. How do you do? I mean, geez.
Well, I mean, you probably your last meal,
your last meal, you're going to be, you only got a $50 limit? You can go to Freddy's and... You go to Freddy's and get a steak for $50, so, you know, one steak for $50, I mean, you don't get much for $50 anymore, Bob.
No, you do not, no. That's for sure. Man,
can't get much at all.
But yours would be a deep dish cheese pizza, huh?
100 or pierogi, one of the two.
You can have both, I think it's the last meal.
So anyway, everything okay?
Everything's going okay, John. I appreciate you asking. How about yourself?
Yeah, I can't complain either. So I'm just chiming in on the last meal part of it, and I'll continue to listening to you guys. So
we appreciate you, John.
All right, Bob. Take care. Right,
there you go.
Thanks, John. I appreciate you calling in as always. Folks, did you know that you can call in right now live? Our phone number is 219-845-1100. I'm going to put that up in chat real quick.
I was looking at
219-845-1100.
Some weird request by Famous Last Meals. A cup of coffee was one of the inmates' final requests. A bag of Jolly Ranchers was another one. A vegetarian pizza to be donated to the homeless.
Oh, that's nice.
Steak, fried chicken, cherry Kool-Aid. We just talked about Kool-Aid. Cherry Kool-Aid and pecan pie. That sounds like a great last meal right there. justice, equality, and world peace.
Guys, I assure you, we are not a true crime podcast either.
2 pints of mint chocolate chip ice cream. 2 pints.
That is Timothy McVeigh's. Am I correct on that one?
Yes, Timothy McVeigh. Mm.
I can't believe I know that. I knew about the fried chickens from Gacy, but for whatever reason, the Timothy McVeigh, the pint of mint ice cream, that just always stuck out to me.
And another one I heard about all the time, a single olive with a pit inside of it.
That's interesting.
Victor Figueroa. He may have been dreaming of martinis. They found the pit inside his pocket after he died. We could be here all day, Bob.
I was going to say, we are you ready to take a quick break, Count Panic?
Oh, wait. We have a text chimer chiming into my old cell phone line. Friend of the show, Chuck Pullen. I'm going to give this a heart react. He's final meal. They would have to catch him first, by the way. They would have to catch Chuck first.
They'd have to catch Chuck first.
But he wants cotton candy. The man loves cotton candy. And pierogi. Cotton candy and pierogi. If there's a way we can make a cotton candy flavored pierogi or a pierogi flavored cotton candy, Chuck would be delighted to get a last meal there. But that would be Chuck Pullen's last meal request.
That's
not fair. A bad one. Cotton candy goes down smooth, no matter what. But they have to catch him first. All right, Bob.
All right, Kyle, you ready to take a quick break?
We'll take a break.
All right. For our live fans, we'll be right back. And for our podcast fans, you're about to be hearing words from a show that you should be listening to. Stay tuned. And we're back. Oh, hey there, Count.
Oh, hey, Bob.
What'd you do during break?
During the break, Bob, I was still thinking about my final meal. Trying to picture that perfect final meal. I still can't get it right, Bob.
You know what I did? I enrolled in cooking classes at the Cordon Bleu.
So you could cook your final meal?
Yes, so I could be a better cook, because apparently I am a terrible cook.
Are you a terrible cook? Who's complaining?
You'd be surprised.
Well, you don't have your own restaurant, so, I mean, what
does anyone care? No, if I did, it would it'd just be mac and cheese and grilled cheese, that's it.
What's that?
Vix doesn't chat me, yeah.
What school are you going to?
Cordon Bleu.
Cordon Bob. Cordon Bob.
Yes. complain, yes. Yeah,
people complain.
About the West African vampires.
Ah, relatives.
These are, in my opinion, one of the most terrifying vampire-esque story I've ever come across.
Really?
From West Africa, the Sasa Bonsa. Or the Asa Bonsam, Sasabonsam. Now, folks, you know me, I'm not a native speaker of the people of the Akron people. I don't speak their language, so I apologize if I mispronounced something. Not my intention. But I have a really good article here from Atlas Obscura I'm going to read from Nicole Zeichman. So I'm going to read this to you guys. In West Africa, there is a story of a hunter, and this hunter is famous among the Akan people, A-K-A-N. You can find them in Ghana a lot. He had come from a long story lineage and knew of the rules of the land. He knew when he could hunt, when he could not, and where he could hunt, and where he could not. But one day, for reasons unknown, he resolved to flout these traditional rules and pursued a kill on a day when humans were forbidden to enter the forest. As he tracked his prey deeper into the woods, he noticed that his sense of time and space began to warp. The forest, which had become so familiar to him, transformed into a labyrinth, and not the kind with Jim Henson. Disorientated and afraid, he tried to navigate his way out. But then the vision started. A bizarre monster threw him from tree to tree, only to vanish upon his approach. Confused and exhausted, the hunter fell into a deep sleep. When he awoke, he made his way out of the forest and back to the village, where he learned he had been missing for days. Where had he been? What had he been doing, they asked. Even if he had answers, he could not offer them, as he had lost the ability to speak. Many believe that his life had only spared as a warning, and the village understood what happened. He had to been a victim of the Sasa Bonsam. It is well known among the Akan, or the people who live in Ghana, the Ivory Coast, and the Togo, T-O-G-O, Togo, that you don't go into the forest on Thursday, says Genevieve Nerzar. That's G-E-N-E-V. IEVENRENZAH, a research fellow at the University of Ghana's Institute of African Studies. The Akan believe that the land itself is a supernatural feminine spirit called Alessia, A-S-A-S-S-E-Y-A-A, a goddess of fertility and apostle of truth. Thursday is considered a sacred day, one that all sentient beings on the land should be observed by resting, which means no tilling of the land or hunting in the forest. The restriction reinforces century-old obligation to preserve the land and allow it to renew itself, and the Sasa Bonsam is its enforcer. Hunters visit the forest to hunt animals. Farmers go into the forest to plant crops. But on Thursdays, they should leave the land to rest and replenish itself, Genevieve explains. It's the one day of the week that humans are not supposed to visit the forest or bush. The deities and spirits need to be able to come out and visit the physical environments alone. The spiritual implication mirror of ecological ones, the Akan adhere to this Thursday restriction as a form of traditional environmental preservation, one that merges nature, the divine, and the respect of one's ancestors. Sound familiar on other day of the week, Count Panic, for us on the, for us growing up in the Christian faith or Catholicism?
It kind of does ring a bell. There it is, then, Bob.
Sunday. No, you're not supposed to work on the Sunday. And what day is it for the Dutch? It's Monday, right?
You might be right about the Monday.
Well, I think it's, I could be, and the Polish people are big on Mondays. You didn't work on a Monday.
I try the, you know, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But fortunately, I work. But Sunday is traditionally the day of rest, Bob. You are correct. Although nowadays, yeah. I think, you know, the way the workforce is, it's out of control. People do work on Sundays now, but yes, Sunday is the day of rest.
Okay.
Traditionally.
The legend states that the Sessabone lurks in the treetop canopies waiting for its victims to pass by underneath. There are different versions of how it might appear, but many know it as the master of the most frightening appearance, according to Genevieve. It commonly has a bat-like head with a long black hair atop a lithe, lean, muscular humanoid body, its mouth full of sharp iron teeth, its eyes wild, glowering, and red, its ears big and pointed to hear prey approaching from miles away. Its dexterous, hook-shaped feet allow it to suspend itself upside down. In some tellings, it also has a snake-like tail that it uses to distract and taunt its victims. By the way, those hook-shaped feet are sharp as hooks. They're like iron.
By the way, I got a kind of I just got to call my cell phone here. I have a Trucker Mike who normally calls into the airwaves. Trucker Mike, if you're listening, I can't call you right now. I'm live on the air, but if he might be listening to the radio and just wanted to call me to know if this was live or not. Call the studio line, Trucker Mike, 219-845-1100, 219-845-1100. If not, I will return your phone call for sure, probably tomorrow, because it might be a little later till we get off the air here. But that's all I wanted to say. Sometimes people, I think, you know, my cell phone is not the hotline there after listening to the radio. But continue on, Bob. Again, terrifying creatures, it sounds like, for sure.
It is. Yeah. It's said that the Sessabone immediately begins tracking a farmer or hunter who dares to venture into a forest on a Thursday. It's been reported that the creature plays with its victims like a cat might play with a mouse, stalking its prey by instinct, even when they're not hungry. It might jump from tree to tree or tap a victim's shoulder with its tail. Once the Sessabone had its fill of taunting, it will stretch down to the forest floor and snatch up its prey, biting its neck, draining of its blood, and gorging its flesh and bone. Mm. The stories and legends of the creature are used to educate and socialize people, Genevieve says, something she has honored in her own life. The same stories I heard as a kid are the same stories I tell my children. They are cautionary tales carrying moral lessons about the necessity to respect the land. Though terrifying, these beliefs help anchor Akan culture and ensure its passing from generation to generation. And when the colonial lines were drawn in between Ghana and the Ivory Coast and Togo, dividing the range of Akan, its traditional belief systems that tied them across arbitrary barriers. This isn't to say the legend of the Sessabone hasn't evolved. A substantial shift in the narrative, meaning it occurred in the 20th century when Christianity brought about new popularization and weaponization of the monster. When Christians came, determined to spread the gospel, they looked around and they couldn't find the devil. A Nigerian playwright, Wole Soyinka, poised in a roundtable discussion on the negative effects of Christianity on African cosmology. When they couldn't find the equivalent of the devil, They took one of our deities. Christianity intruded it for the sole purpose, very often, of preparing the way of real stormtroopers of commerce, imperialism, colonialism, exploitation, disdain, and racial disdain. Because the Sasabassum was already feared amongst the Akan people, Christian missionaries appropriated the creature with as a tool of control. I wouldn't say they changed the story, but Christians who made the first contact with the Ghana people brainwashed them, said Genevieve once more. They stressed the enemy, the devil, so to speak, in the Sabasum. The more that Christianity was popularized, the more that the evil of the creature was popularized as well. Recently, the creature played a more prominent role in Marlon James's acclaimed novel, Black Leopard, Red Wolf, bringing African mythology into a fantasy epic and reappropriating the legend to a modern purpose. This Sabosan is one more monstrous than his ancestors. He is described as the Bloodsucker, with red eyes and a large bat wings and a penchant for killing alongside his brother, Asabosum, the Flesh Eater. It wasn't until the first time James wrote about the creature. In 2009, the novel The Book of Night Women, he describes the creature as follows. It comes straight from the Africa, not in the chains, but by the free will, and make him home wherever it is to be the most misery. The creature live in the cotton tree and give any man his time if they have a guinea. A showman at your bed means something setting evil on you, mayhaps death. Sasabassum be the wickedest obia, worse than poison. O-B-E-A-H.
Well, Bob, butting in because we have a phone call here.
Yeah, take it live, Count Panic.
Take it live on the air.
Caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, good evening, gentlemen. Bob and Count.
Bill.
How's it going, Bill?
Good, isn't it? It's going good. I've been listening, but I just want to say it's nice to talk to two professional broadcasters, you know?
Yeah, we try from time to time, yeah.
Did you ever let us know when you find them, Bill?
Yeah.
let us know their names. I'll give you a call back, right?
There you go.
But, yeah, you were talking about last meal. I think I put White Castle on there.
Yeah, that's a great one.
I'm a simple guy. Yeah, you know. But, yeah, like I said, I just thought I'd check in. I haven't, I think. What, you've been gone for a couple of weeks or a week?
We're off and on sometimes there.
Yeah, well, okay. Yeah. I know. And how are you doing, Count? Good?
I'm doing good there. Can't complain. And you know what? The White Castle thing is a strong consideration. Bob, they got vegetarian options at White Castle too. You could be okay with that.
I've had White Castle since I was a little kid. My dad worked at Standard Oil over there, and we had relatives in Whiting, and we lived there for about 4 years. So I got used to that.
The historic White Castle. Yeah, well, now it's a new White Castle, but it stands on historic ground for White Castle.
Well, the old one I'm talking about.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and that. So other than that, Bob, how are you? Okay, everything good with you?
Oh, I'm doing okay, Bill. Can't complain. I'm just kind of existing, you know?
Yeah, I am too. So listen, I'm enjoying the show, and usually if you have a guest, I don't call because, you know, call I her. Listen to the program.
Yeah.
But maybe I'll change that.
Call whatever you want there, Bill. You know the number.
You call in whenever you want.
Well, you know, I'm a loyal listener. I listen. I know John is too. I hear John all the time. So
Yeah. There's a few people out there.
All right. You guys take care and have a good evening.
Take care, Bill.
Sounds good. Talk to you later, Bill.
All right. Bye.
White Castle, not a bad option at all, Bob.
Yes. All right. Let's finish this up.
All right.
In this way, the Sasabassum has proven versatile. Hundreds of years of oral tradition shaped the monster into various forms, from deity necessary to detour exploration of the land to a placeholder for the devil, appropriated to instill fear, to a gruesome monster in a beloved fantasy book. Through all of this, the Sasa Bonsam is there to enforce rules unspoken and spoken that must be followed. Interesting stuff, huh?
Yeah, it is. Kind of an ominous thing there, Bob.
I would say so, yes.
Yeah.
But now, Count, I got to ask you, we talk about different vampires on this.
Of course, my brethren.
Your family. How does this rank up there with, some of the more traditional vampire stories?
Yeah, you know, I think this is a lot, there's a lot of mythicism here and whatnot, too, as well. But, you know, when we deal with all these stories, it's like different levels, I think, Bob. But all the levels, to me, still rather terrifying. You don't run into, a vampire you want to meet, or a vampire tribe you want to meet, or across an alleyway or whatnot. They're all on a different level of, eerie. And this is no doubt on that level, Bob. Even though there is some relation there, I'm on the kind of the good side of vampires, but maybe this one not so much.
Yes. All right. I do have a sighting I want to talk about.
Yeah.
During the photography, this is 1918, by the way, during the photography of a Sasa Bonsam sculpture in Ghana, J.B. Dankuya, J.B.D.A.N.Q.U.A.H., was told by an Ashanti youth presented in the crowd that a Sasa Bonsam had been once killed a man named Agyawu, A.G.Y.A.W.U.O., and brought to this town where it had been observed by a number of people. According to the youth, Agyawu had come across the Sasabun sleeping in a tree hollow in a dense forest and fatally injured it after it emitted a cry like that of a bat, but deeper. He took the body back to his village when it died, making a ho-ho noises. Then on to the bungalow of the district L.W. Wood, who supposedly photographed it on February 22nd, 1928. When questioned about the incident of Dankwa, Wood seemed uncertain whether he had indeed photographed such a creature, and cautiously said that he may have taken the snap on when it developed, but may have shown nothing. He had not been to Ashanti in February 1928, but he had been there in 1918, making it possible that the youth misremembered the date of the incident. What do you think of that?
Yeah, that is eerie for sure, Bob. I mean, it's kind of right there. I mean, it all makes kind of sense now.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Bob, is there a way to... Well, I guess there's always a way to defeat a vampire.
Well, these just don't go into the forest on Thursdays, and you won't have a problem.
Yeah. I mean, I could do without Thursday forest.
Absolutely.
You could just go to the other. You got 6 more days that we could go through.
But none of my research points to how you kill them.
Nah.
So we'll just say don't go into the woods on Thursdays, and you'll be just fine.
You'll be just fine. But what if you have to go, just be careful. Like, if you really need to go to the forest on Thursdays, just be careful.
Absolutely.
May carry the traditional vampire kit and see if that works out in your favor. Have a chance.
Now, Count, before we go, do you have any closing words for the audience?
Bob, everybody, again, my closing words is stay out of the woods on Thursday. Tomorrow's Wednesday, go ahead. Day after Friday, go ahead. Just stay out on Thursday. Those are my closing words.
Yes.
Have a good night.
On behalf of me and Count Panic, everybody, we just want to wish all of you sweet dreams. To my mom, I want to wish you a good night. And to my dad, wherever you are in the universe, I hope you're happy, comfortable doing whatever it is that you want to be doing. And to Tiff, I hope you have the sweetest dreams of them all, no matter where you are in the world. Good night, everybody. And remember, the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.
Memoriam Development.